Hey, what's up, guys? It's your boy, Eric Anders, and you're listening to MMA Wreckage Radio.
And welcome to the 30th episode of MMA Wreckage Radio. I am your host, Randall Folks, and we have an action-packed episode for you today. Starting with three guests, we have Claudio Ledesma, who is going to be taking on Titan FC's flyweight champion, Juan Puerta, next Friday night at Titan FC 55. Also from Titan FC 55, we have Matt Wagney. Waggy is going to be one half of the bantamweight title fight at Titan FC 55. Again, that's next Friday, not Saturday, guys. Also on this episode, we have a fighter from this Saturday's UFC fight card, which is the very first card in South Carolina. And it's going to be one of the very first fighters to ever fight in the state of South Carolina. Andre Ewell is going to be joining us later today. Can't wait to have him back on the show. We've had him on before. He was a great interview before. Obviously, he's going to be a great interview again. Then, like always, I got Waleed, my Algerian homeboy. He's going to be helping me out, and we're going to be breaking down this weekend's card, UFC Fight Night, Korean Zombie vs. Moicano. I'm super excited about that. The main event is going to be a great fight. Moicano looked great up until losing to Aldo. Korean Zombie looked great for the entire fight against Yair Rodriguez up until one crazy elbow landed. So that's going to be awesome. Also, me and Waleed are going to go over some current events. Waleed has broke down a couple current events, and we're going to go through and discuss those in detail. But after a quick station identification, we'll be right back. We're going to have a nice little interview from Matt Waggy.
Hey, this is Lex McMahon, the CEO of Titan FC, and you are listening to MMA Wreckage Radio.
All right, guys, at this time, I have one half of the Titan FC bantamweight title fight at Titan FC 55. Matt the Hammer Time Waggy, how you doing, Matt?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. So your last fight was actually with Titan FC. It was the second time with the promotion. You had a split decision victory over Editiri. Tell me how that fight went for you.
I thought it went very well. Obviously, the split decision was a little sketchy because I didn't believe it was a split decision. But I thought I did very well. I controlled every round. I felt that I won every round. So obviously, I wanted to finish him, but he's a very tough opponent. So it was overall a very good performance, I felt, for me.
Did you learn anything from that fight?
Yeah, I learned that I can outstrike very good strikers.
Definitely. And then what have you looked into for your opponent, Irvin Rivera, in your bantamweight title fight? Have you had a chance to research him at all?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen his last fight. I know Irwin. He's a very good striker as well. Tough overall fighter, but I just feel that I have the advantage everywhere. But that's how I feel going into everybody. Gets every fight, so it doesn't really make a difference to me. I focus on what I can control, and that's my training and my technique and everything that I'm doing.
And how do you feel this fight's going to play out?
I see myself getting my hand raised. I'm not sure how, but I'm definitely going to win this fight.
And like I said, this is now going to be your third fight with the promotion. How do you feel Titan FC has treated you so far?
Titan's been very good to me, man. Lex and Jeff are great guys. The promotion's very good. The platform is high level. I think they're one of the top promotions in the world. So winning a title for Titan is a huge honor and big feather in my cap for me.
And definitely one of the more interesting things about Titan, too, is they have that Zuffa out to where they give you the option if the UFC does come to you and other top organizations. They will let you, if Bellator calls, if ONE calls, they will let you go. That's a unique situation for a promotion like that. Not a lot of people were willing to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. With a promotion as high level as Titan, to be able to work with the fighters and allow them to go to other platforms, which, I mean, Titan can compete, I think, with top promotions in the world as well, but they choose to allow us to go. They're not there to handicap any fighters, and that's what's really good about Titan.
No, definitely. And do you see yourself defending this bantamweight title if you are victorious on June 28th?
that all depends on who comes calling, but obviously I would love to fight for Titan as long as they'll have me. But if the UFC calls, of course I would like to go to the UFC. But Titan FC is definitely a great promotion if I win this belt, and UFC doesn't call, I'll be defending it.
Now, before, I believe it was your last fight, you had an opportunity. You were going to go fight for the PFL. Is that still something you would be open to?
Well, the PFL, I guess it fell through because they were going to have a bantamweight tournament, and I guess they scrapped it for the 55-pound women's thing or whatever they're doing. So they don't have a bantamweight tournament for whatever reason. They were going to do that, but they scrapped it. I'm not in any talks with PFL, but obviously that's an opportunity and an option if it comes calling. We'll experiment it. That's up to my coaches and managers, but I'm focused on Irwin Rivera and winning the Titan belt right now.
No, definitely. And what are you training at nowadays?
I'm sorry? Where am I training?
Yes.
Yeah, right now I'm at Roger Crawl's gym in Sunrise. Top team, but not top team. I'm not American top team. I represent Roger Crawl and his gym, and I represent Team Alpha Male in California.
So now that you go back and forth, have you spent a whole lot of time in Team Alpha Male for this fight?
Not for this fight, no. I mean, I've been there for 6 years. I'm actually going to go visit those guys after this fight. I plan on doing more training camps out there when I have, you know, a longer time. I only really had a month to get ready for this fight, so I didn't really have a whole lot of time to go out there. But definitely want to do training camps out there with those guys in the future and eventually, you know, get back in contact with the guys, of course.
Yeah, you talked about the quick turnaround. Was that something that you wanted to do, get back in there right away?
It didn't really matter. They offered me the title, and I'm like, yeah, I'm ready. So I was ready. I didn't have any injuries in my last fight, so it was no problem with me.
And for what's next for you, do you have any options out there already? Have you been in talks with Bellator or UFC or anybody like that?
Well, they have me on the list for a contender series and all that stuff, and UFC has said, you know, I'm on the list, but at the same time, that's nothing to bank on. So right now, my focus is Titan. That's who I'm fighting for. That's the number one priority, is winning the Titan title. And then from there, you know, everything else opens up after that. You know, we'll see what happens after the fight.
For sure. And what's Matt Wagy like outside of the cage?
I like to have a good time, man. I enjoy spending time with my family, my friends, my dog. I'm very motivated. I like to make sure that don't really like the nightlife too much, but I like to go travel around. I love California. I love traveling around there, going to Lake Tahoe, Point Arena. Got a lot of friends out there, so I'm looking forward to this trip after this fight.
So you're going back up to California after this fight?
Yeah, July 2nd, I'm going to go up there for a couple weeks and see Faber's fight and see a lot of my friends over there at Alpha Male and, you know, just visit, train a little bit, and say what's up.
Yeah, they have that huge card in Sacramento. There's a lot of guys from Alpha Male on that card. Cynthia Calvillo actually just had to pull out of that card because she broke her foot.
Oh, shit, I didn't even know that. That sucks.
Yeah, they just announced it the other day.
Oh, damn, that sucks.
So are you a fight fan outside of just, you know, watching your opponents?
Yeah, I have so many friends that are in the UFC and so many buddies of mine that I love watching. You know, I love watching all my friends, so I'm a huge fight fan, of course.
Definitely. So how do you feel this whole bantamweight title picture is holding up? Because obviously, being from Alpha Male, you're friends with TJ Dillashaw. You have to be friends with Cody Garbrandt as well. Well, maybe not friends, but
yeah, I'm friends. I'm friends with everybody at Alpha Male. TJ never really got along with TJ too much. And TJ's out for 2 years, so TJ's irrelevant right now. You know, Cody's a great fighter. Faber's a great fighter. There's always great guys up there. I got a lot of friends up there, but you know, the fight game's a fight game. You know, we fight. I'll fight anybody for the world title, so it doesn't really matter who it is. But up until then, you know, training with everybody. And I mean, Team Alpha Male is a family atmosphere, so obviously we don't want to fight our friends, but if we have to fight for a world title, we have to fight for a world title. That's how it works, you know?
Well, Benito Lopez is up there, and haven't you guys fought before also?
Yeah, me and Benito have trained for a long time now after we fought right before. He caught me and then beat the crap out of him all the time in the gym, so me and Benito always mess with each other. I beat him in the UFC video game all the time, and, you know, me and Benito are good friends. He's fighting on the Sacramento card as well, too.
And see, that's what a lot of people don't understand about the sport is it's not a bunch of just animosity all the time. I mean, obviously, after fights, you guys can become friends. And obviously, like, you and Benito have established some friendship there.
Yeah, you know, Benito was very respectful. You know, he caught me in the fight early on in my career. And after that, he came to Alpha Male, was nothing but respectful. And we became friends and training partners for years after that. So, you know, he's a good dude. I wish him nothing but success. If we fight again, we fight again for the belt. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, so you're not one of those guys who's shy away from fighting somebody. If it's for a belt, we're going at it.
Well, I mean, Irwin, I actually trained with Irwin before. Me and Irwin, I like Irwin as a guy. You know, he has a cool story. He broke his shin bone. You know, he came back from adversity. I trained with him a little bit over at Combat Club, and I've congratulated him after his fight. He congratulated me after mine. We're friendly people, you know what I mean? But this is for a belt, and this is for our careers. We have to fight each other. You know, at certain points, there's only so far we can go. Especially for the UFC title, there's nobody that I wouldn't fight for the UFC title. And I think that anybody that's in the UFC would feel the same way, you know?
Yeah, that's like the only opposite to that, I guess, would be the whole Tyrone Woodley-Ben Askren situation.
Yeah, but they're just not going to fight each other because there's no longer an opportunity. But I feel they would, you know, if they really had to. If it came to a point where they really had to, I feel like they would, you know?
No, for sure, for sure. You spent some time with the Burns brothers, is that not correct?
Yeah, Gilbert and Herbert.
Yeah, when I was talking to Gilbert last time, he mentioned having you in the training room with him. How has that been, having those guys in there? Because they're world-class jiu-jitsu.
Oh, they're very good. I mean, I've been working a lot with Wagner Rocha as well. I mean, I've done jiu-jitsu with the best in the world. I've really trained with, you know, since I was 12 years old, I trained with Ricardo Laborio, Marcel Ferreira, Charles McCarthy, Chris Holdsworth, Marcelo Garcia. There's so many great high-level guys that I've learned from. Wagner Rocha coached me for 2 years. Gilbert and Herbert have taught me a lot. I have a very, very high-level jiu-jitsu game because of so much that I've learned from so many great guys in jiu-jitsu. So it obviously helps my game a lot.
No, definitely. And who are some of the guys that you've been training for specifically with Irvin Rivera in mind?
Mostly I've been training with Charles Rosa, my buddy Charles Rosa. I've been training with a lot of people over at Top Team in Sunrise, and I've been training with a lot of people over at Wagner's Gym for jiu-jitsu and my wrestling team over at Olympic Heights. So I've been getting my work in with people that I know. Obviously, with Combat Club, Irwin is friends with the Herbert and Gilbert, so I kind of stayed away from there a little bit just because I don't want them to have any weird situation as well. But obviously, you know, I feel very confident going into the fight.
No, for sure. And I don't want to take any more of your time, but where can the fans find you on social media?
So social media, you can find me at WAGY561 on Instagram and Matt Wagy MMA on Facebook and Twitter at Matt Wagy, WAGY.
And then before I let you go, Matt, can you give a shout out to your sponsors, loved ones, anyone that's helped you out along the way? Anybody?
Obviously, family, my teammates, my coaches, Roger, Charles Rosa, Wagner Rocha, my parents, all my sponsors, Raw Juice, Forever Young. There's 15 of them. There's a bunch of good sponsors. Titan FC for having me on the promotion, and Irwin Rivera for taking the fight.
Cool, man. Thank you again for coming on. I know you're super busy. I know you're in between training sessions. Like I said, ladies and gentlemen, it's June 28th, Titan FC Bantamweight Championship fight. That's Matt Wagy versus Irvin Rivera. Matt, we wish you the best of luck, man.
Thank you for having me, man. Have a good rest of your day.
Of course. You too, brother.
Take care, man.
This is Jay, the Teenage Dream Hooper, and you're listening to MMA Wreckage Radio.
All right, guys, at this time, we are going to break down some current events that have been happening this week in MMA. First and foremost, Valentina Shevchenko has a date for her next title defense, and it is August 10th, UFC Fight Night. I believe that's in San Antonio. It is it's in Uruguay, correct?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And it is Liz Carmouche versus Valentina Shevchenko. That is a rematch. Before both these two women were in the UFC, Carmouche beat Valentina on the regional scene, and that was Valentina's first professional loss. It's the only loss that she's sustained to a female outside of Amanda Nunes. It should be a good fight for her to get back in her. I know it's definitely one that she wanted. She's been asking for it for a while to get Liz Carmouche, so now she's finally going to get what she asked for.
Yeah, and we talked that on the previous podcast. We said that now that Shevchenko is the champion and she defended the way she beat Jessica Ai, like it would be tough to get her some fights. And a rematch, like it's the fight that makes more sense right now, since she's not going to fight against Amanda, and it's better to stay active than to just sit down and not do something.
No, definitely. She had a while to get to from her first fight in flyweight to the actual title fight. It was a long time between those. So I'm sure since she now has this title, she wants to defend it as much as possible. She beat Joanna Jędrzejczyk for the title. As you see, she knocked out Jessica Eide devastatingly. And now she has Liz Carmouche August 10th in Uruguay. How do you think the reaction is going to be for these two women headlining the card in this country?
I don't know. So it's in Uruguay?
Yes.
So Shevchenko like lived in Peru, if I'm not wrong. Like she lived maybe her whole life, and people like in Uruguay, in countries like that, I think that she will get a warm welcome. Like everybody will cheer her up. Like it will be like she's in her own country. Like the Uruguay people are like that. Like when I watch in soccer and stuff like that, like they are very, very humble people, and they are people that you know, like good fights and like good fighters and like good athletes. So yeah, that would be a good thing. Like getting two women to headline the first pay per view there, the first fight night there. It's kind of good.
No, definitely. And I mean, Liz Carmouche is no slouch. Being in the UFC, she's only lost to three women, Alexa Davis twice, Misha Tate, and Ronda Rousey. I mean, obviously, it's a pretty good list of women to have on your name or on your resume at this point. I think with Valentina Shevchenko now on the horizon, having already beat her once, do you think Liz Carmouche kind of thinks she has a little bit of advantage over Valentina?
Oh, definitely, and she needs to think like that if she wants to have a chance to win. She needs to really think that she can beat her again, because she beat her once. Even though I think that Shevchenko that she beat is not the same Shevchenko that is champion right now, but you know, she needs to really think that she is, you know, the in the red corner, not in the blue corner, because she won the first fight between the two of them. So she needs to think like that. I mean, that's definitely how she needs to go for the fight.
No, and she's a tough cookie. I mean, obviously, she spent 5 years in the U.S. Marine Corps. I mean, she's a great wrestler. I mean, look what she's done to some of the women in this fucking division already. Caitlin Kukagian, who has been calling for that number one contender spot, she beat her already. Jennifer Maya, Alexa Davis, she lost to both times, but it was a great showing in the last fight. Laura Murphy, she ran through unanimous decision. I mean, outside of a couple women, she's looked very good since being in the UFC.
Yeah, and she's been in the UFC for a while.
Like, what are her keys to victory over Valentina?
I think maybe her wrestling, but she needs to you know, underestimate the jiu-jitsu of Shevchenko. Even on her back, Shevchenko is very dangerous. And you know, I think that she needs to put a lot of pressure on Shevchenko, like not let her get comfortable with the, you know, her kicks and her striking and all the Muay Thai shit that she does. She needs really to put pressure on her, you know, keep her in the cage, clinch, you know, make the fight dirty, I would say.
And that's the thing, is Valentina Shevchenko is such a well-rounded mixed martial artist.
Yeah.
It's so hard to just plan for one thing. Like, if you expect her to go in there and have a Muay Thai fight with you, she could very easily take you down and submit you. And then you don't know really what you're going to get, because that's the type of evolution of fighter we have now. We have arguably one of the best pound for pound fighters ever right in front of us in Valentina Shevchenko, and I don't think people are even starting to realize it yet.
Yeah, definitely. She maybe she's more well-rounded than Amanda, I think. Because even though Amanda, maybe she's better than her in the striking because she has the knockout power, but I think that Shevchenko is, you know, is a better mixed martial artist, I would say.
Now, you talk about Amanda for 1 second. That's one double champ. We're going to go from one double champ to another double champ. Triple C, Henry Cejudo, yeah, has unfortunately had to be sidelined because of a shoulder surgery. He said he sustained an injury in the first round of his title fight with Marlon Moraes. He even came back after that round and put on one of the best performances I've ever seen in a title fight. So the fact that he got injured in that very first round and came back to do what he was able to do is phenomenal. They're saying that it's going to take 4 to 5 months before he can start training. So possibly we see him again late 2019, like the December card. If not, it's going to be early 2020 that we're going to see Triple C again.
Yeah, and you know, like, to be fair, I think that he's been very active this year, so it's not really a problem. It will be even a good thing, because it will give him time to rest, and it will give us, the fans and the UFC and the bantamweight division, you know, to really have a number one contender, you know, because right now we don't know if he needs to fight against Yan, or he needs to fight against Sterling, or, you know, so we need, or a rematch against Moraes, like, or Cody going back, or even though, imagine if Uriah Faber come back and win, and then fight another fight and win, like, maybe Uriah Faber can be back in the mix, like, who knows? So we will have, you know, time, you know, to you know, put some order in this bantamweight division, I would say.
Do you think the UFC goes and makes interim titles?
I don't think it's very necessary at this point, but you know, who knows? Dana White will try to do stuff to sell more cards, and you know, so. But do you think it's do the UFC need an interim champion?
I think for this situation, no. I think if he's going to be able to come back. But see, the question is, maybe you do one interim title. Maybe Henry says, hey, look, I want to come back and defend the flyweight title no matter what. So you make an interim bantamweight champion.
Yeah, but... That depends. If his first fight after his injury is in the flyweight division, then we have an interim belt in the bantamweight. If his next fight will be at bantamweight, we have an interim belt at flyweight. That's what you are saying?
Yes.
So yeah, maybe that kind of makes sense, you know.
I think if you look at it that way, it's the only way that it could kind of any really make sense for an interim championship, because, like you said, it's only a 5 month injury. But it's not just a 5 month injury to a person holding up one division. We're talking about two divisions here. So 5 months for two divisions is really 10 months if you look at it in the big picture of things.
Yeah, I would say maybe, you know, in the, like, an interim belt in the flyweight
because
division,
say he defends his flyweight title in December or January, okay, and he doesn't come out 100%, he's not going to be able to fight and defend that next belt until what, we're talking March, April, May?
Yeah. So yeah,
you can't hold a division of that long. I feel like with this injury, he's got to figure out what title he wants to come back, what division he wants to come back to. And I think maybe either A, relinquish a title, or B, get an interim championship, which I think an interim championship makes more sense.
Let's say that Henry Cejudo will defend both titles, okay? And let's say that after the injury, they will give him the choice. So what do you want to fight next? At bantamweight, at flyweight? After a five-month injury, do you think that he really wants to do a hard weight cut after 5 months of injuries? Like, I don't think that will be his plan.
So then do you give Joseph Benavidez versus somebody else, or what?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, because the flyweight division really need, you know, fresh air, you know, and they need that so they can promote fights, I think.
Realistically, flyweight title's only been on the line once this year, and it's not going to be on the line anymore. And before that, it only been once a year before that. So in the last 2 years, the flyweight title's been on the line twice.
Yeah, I think that we need an interim belt at flyweight.
So why don't you do Formiga versus Benavidez for the flyweight title?
I think that's the fight interim, that makes more sense.
Interim flyweight title. If not, you do Aljamain versus Yan.
Yeah, but I think Aljamain against Yan, like, it's not a tough fight to sell. Like, you don't need to be an interim championship title fight to sell this fight. But for the flyweight, it's different.
Yeah, for sure. I think if you put a flyweight title on the line, Formiga and Benavidez means a little more. I think if you look at Sterling versus Yan and where they're at in their careers, I think no matter what you have that fight, as long as it's a five-round fight, you're going to sell it.
Yeah, for sure. Now, speaking of interim champion, let's talk about, you know, my favorite interim champion, who is Conor McGregor. He's been interim champion after beating Chad Mendes. I don't know, did you listen to the interview of Coach Kavanaugh when he go to the Ariel Helwani show? That's the name of the show, right?
Ariel Helwani's MMA show. I caught a good chunk of the interview. I love anything with John Kavanaugh. The guy is very well-spoken. He talks about his new facility that they're going to be moving into, and then he actually owns this building so that he won't be able to fucking be evicted out of this one. He talked a little bit about Conor, about Dylan Danis. What were some of the fine points that you took from the interview?
Like, listen, for me, like, every time Conor McGregor shares something on Instagram, like, fight-wise, like, when something related to fighting, or Coach Kavanaugh says something, I really get, you know, the hype is real. I really get, oh shit, you know, my blood start rushing, and, you know, I always think that we will have the rematch with Khabib. And I think that we will have the rematch against Khabib, or maybe before that, a rematch against Nate Diaz, you know, the trilogy that we all want to see.
And that's what Coach Kavanaugh said, too. That's the one fight that really he wants, is that rematch with Nate. And I think if you see what Nate can do after he fights Pettis at UFC 240, I think that possibly that Conor rematch could be on the horizon if Nate looks very good in this fight.
Yeah, for sure.
He doesn't even have to win, as long as he looks good.
Yeah, he needs to look good. If Nate looks good, the rematch will always make sense, because he won by submission and he lost by decision. So the trilogy, like, Nate deserves the third fight more than Conor do, because, you know, he won clearly and then he lost by decision. And the decision, you know, depend on judges. Some people, Conor McGregor's haters, but some people said that Nate won the second fight because it was a close fight. So who knows? But one thing that really interests me during the interview is that when he said that after rewatching the fight with Khabib, he said that with some, you know, little adjustments, definitely McGregor would win. Like, it's not, for him, it's for sure he would defeat him. Like, the outcome would be different. What do you think about that?
I do think there is some truth behind that. I don't know if it would be dramatically different. I don't think that Conor will go in there and walk over Khabib. But I do think with little subtle adjustments here and there, I do think it's a completely different fight. And I'm talking just subtle adjustments. Nothing major, nothing too big, nothing that is unexpected for him to be able to learn within a couple of months.
Yeah, for sure. And there's something, like, you know, in the MMA world right now, like, if a fighter gets injured, we know it. If a fighter gets surgery, we know it. But a fighter like Conor McGregor, like the biggest star in the UFC, like, I saw him in a picture that he has something in his left hand, and I said, yeah, he's injured. But we didn't know that he got surgery. And the fact is, he got surgery. Like, we needed to hear it from the coach to know that he got surgery. Like, what do you think about that? That Conor McGregor, we follow him everywhere. He do a lot of press. He do a lot of shit. But for real, we don't know shit. Like, we get injured. And
I think it speaks wonders to him, his camp, to people that he has around him, to keep everything in that little nutshell. It can't be that easy. Like, you know, like you were saying, this guy lives under a microscope. Every little thing that he does is polarized. Any little incident he gets into with anybody is fucking turned on You can turn it on TMZ and see it. You can go to the news and see it. You can go to YouTube and see any of his altercations with anybody outside of a UFC cage. Nobody in the world has to deal with shit like that except for celebrities of that status. But the fact that he can get being a top-level athlete and he can go almost, months without anybody knowing that he had surgery on his left hand, the money hand, if you ask me, the one that made him all his money, the left hand that put everyone to sleep, he had surgery on that same exact hand. So, I mean, walking into that Khabib fight, was he 100%? Was that left hand ready to go? Or did he take the fight because he didn't want to, I mean, miss out on the opportunity?
No, I think you think that he was injured during the Khabib fight?
Well, I know that Kavanaugh spoke about a sparring session that really set the injury in motion. But I'm saying, could it possibly have been before that? Could he have possibly to the fight with something? Could this be a lingering injury that this sparring session completely sent into a full-blown, we need surgery now?
Yeah, maybe. You know why? Because just before, we start recording, I told you that he didn't launch, he didn't let his left hand go during the fight. And maybe it was that, and Coach Kavanaugh said something during the podcast that he doesn't let his fighters say that I lost the fight because of an injury. He will only let fighters talk about injuries or wants fighters or like fighters to talk about injuries only if they want they win the fight afterward, you know. And one of the guy that did that is Dylan Dennis. He fought with a torn ACL during his last Bellator fight, and he won by submission in the first round. And he will get surgery in a couple of weeks, I think. Maybe in 2 weeks or three, we'll get surgery.
How do you feel about Dylan Dennis?
Listen, people shit on him on Instagram and on Twitter, But the guy, the jiu-jitsu the guy have, you can't deny it.
No, for sure. World-class jiu-jitsu. I mean, what he brings to the table is completely on another level, and I don't think people understand that. I mean, and then what you got to also understand is what he lacks of in the striking area is where Conor excels.
Yeah.
And where Conor lacks... is where Dennis excels. So these two were just working off of each other all day, every day. Dylan Dennis is becoming a better striker, and Conor McGregor is becoming a better grappler. It's two of the best people in their craft realizing, hey, I have a deficiency in my game, and you're one of the best in this area. Come with me, and we'll work with each other, and we'll make each other better.
That's the perfect way to see it, and I think Dylan Dennis joined SBG for that. He was searching for to train with maybe one of the best team in the MMA and have the opportunity to work with a guy like Conor McGregor. Of course, it will it will help him in his career, and Conor McGregor it will help him in his for his jiu-jitsu. People criticize Conor McGregor for his jiu-jitsu a lot. I don't think he has bad jiu-jitsu. I just think that he's just a perfect striker. That's why you think that his jiu-jitsu is not good. But yeah, for sure, Dylan Dennis, people shit on him, but I think he's the real deal. Let's wait to two or three fights, but I think that he is the real deal.
No, definitely. And Sonnen, Chael Sonnen, was another fighter on this Bellator card this last weekend in Madison Square Garden. He actually called it a career after his loss to Lyoto Machida this Saturday. And how do you feel about that whole thing? I mean, it's the American badass. I mean, do you really think the bad guy himself should have called it quits? I mean, he is on a two-fight losing streak, two pretty bad knockouts, too. I mean, the flying knee and punches, he got knocked out by Fedor. Do you think it was time for him to call it quits?
Nobody knows when it's time to quit better than a fighter. And Chael Sonnen, he's an old fighter. He's been in the UFC, he's been in Bellator. He fought all the big fights. we're talking about a guy who fought against Anderson Silva, against Michael Bisping, against John Jones, against Brian Stan, against Fedor,
Silva.
Like his resume Rampage. Is crazy. Like he's crazy. His resume is crazy. Like him or not about his trash talking. Like one thing I'm happy about is that once he's not fighting, like he will commit 100% at, you know, doing his podcast, doing interviews and stuff like that. And I love hearing from him. Like for me, he's the best in the business.
The one thing I feel like is it's so important to point out is all these names that you mention on this list, the Shogun Ruas, the Rashad Evans, the Wanderlei Silvas, the Quentin Rampage Jacksons, the Lyoto Machida, the Fedor Emelianenkos, all these gentlemen were not at his natural weight class. Chael Sonnen is a middleweight.
Yeah.
Chael Sonnen is a middleweight fighting legends in the heavyweight division, fighting legends in the light heavyweight division. We're talking about former UFC champions, multiple former UFC champions. If you look at the list, there's what, four multiple light heavyweight champions on that list, and he's beaten two of them.
Yeah, no, for like, he had the level to be a champion. He had maybe he had the heart more of the level. You know, he have the heart of a champion. Maybe his level was like his MMA level, like globally, wasn't that great. I would say he had good wrestling, great wrestling, I would even say, but you know, his striking wasn't perfect, and you know that maybe he needed some, he lacked some things, you know. But the guy, like you, he's brave. Like you said, he fought everyone.
He was a minute and 50 seconds away from beating Anderson Silva. Completely dominated him for three rounds, or for five rounds. A minute and 50 seconds.
Yeah, and nobody dominated Anderson Silva that way in his prime. Nobody.
No, the only person to beat Anderson after that was a lucky punch.
Yeah. And, you know, the Anderson Silva fight, you know, it was like watching, maybe, you know, it was like watching Khabib or George St. Pierre. Like, he looked amazing.
He looked like he was unstoppable that fight. I mean, I've rewatched that fight multiple times, and just watching it over and over again, you're like, he's finally going to do it. He's finally going to, oh, no, he gets caught in the triangle.
Why did he get? Why did
he got tired? He got tired, and Anderson Silva capitalized right when he could.
But you know what? The great thing about Chael Sonnen and other people, you know, after this loss, like their career would be over. But for no him, no, he will fight against. No, he will get a rematch. Then he will fight against John Jones. Then he will fight at Bellator and fight against Tito Ortiz, who had big rivalry with him. Then he will fight against Wanderlei Silva, maybe one of the biggest rivalry in MMA. And, you know, he'd never stop.
I watched the entire season of Tough Brazil with those two as coaches. It was amazing. You had to read the entire thing, but it was fucking great. Some great UFC fighters. Walry Alvarez was there. The guy now named Paulo Costa was on there. I mean, just some phenomenal fighters were on there. Leatherface.
Yeah, for sure.
Or Shoeface.
And then he fought at heavyweight. You know, after all the shit he's done, and you think that's it. He done it all. No, he go to the Bellator heavyweight Grand Prix. He fights against Rampage, I think. He fights against Rampage first. And
yeah, he fought against Rampage, beat him, and then he lost to Fedor in the semis.
And lost to Fedor, you know. You win or you lose or you get a draw against Fedor. You fought against the guy that people say he is the greatest heavyweight of all time. So it's a win-win at the end of the day.
No, definitely. And our hats off to Chael Sonnen. Thank you for everything that you did for the MMA community and for us fans. It has been an amazing ride to be along with you. One of the greatest trash talkers to ever, ever put on a pair of MMA gloves, Chael motherfucking Sonnen.
Peace, Sonnen. And peace to for Icon.
We will be right back after a quick station identification. We'll have some more MMA Records Radio for you guys.
This is Julio Arce, and you're listening to MMA Records Radio.
All right, guys, joining me at this time is the other half of the June 28th main event for Titan FC 55, Claudio Ledesma. How are you doing today, Claudio?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing very well. So you're taking on Juan Puerta, like I said, Titan FC 55. It's for the flyweight title. Tell me how this opportunity came to fruition for you.
I was bugging my management for like 2 months for a fight. Dave Arvelo, every week I'd shot him a text. I'm like, here's your weekly annoying text. And every week he didn't have anything for me. And then I'm sitting at my kid's baseball game and I shot him the weekly annoying text and he didn't text me back. Instead, he called me and he said, I got something for you. And he offered it. And I said, yeah, let's do it. So it took about a week to get an answer back because I believe Lex was on vacation or something. So I was a little anxious, but I heard back and he knew everything was good. So we got a fight.
And it's an excellent fight. Obviously, it's the main event here of Titan FC 55. Juan Puerta is going to kind of be the home favorite, though. Do you feel any pressure going in there to take on the kind of the hometown guy?
Not really. I mean, I just got to – only thing is I got to make it either a little more decisive or finish him because I know anything close I'm probably not going to get, you know, with the judges. But not really. I mean, I've fought a lot of big names and I've fought in a lot of big arenas and stuff and – it's the end of the day, it's just two guys locked in a cage, you know?
No, for sure. And you're on a 4-fight win streak. What's it going to take to make you're on a 5-fight win streak.
Five.
Sheer Dog needs to fix their shit, bro.
Yeah, five.
Well, oh, you know what? Tapology here has it 5. Sheer Dog, shame on you. So you're on a 5-fight win streak. What is it? What do we got to do to make it 6?
Just be me. That's it. Think if I'm myself and I do what I do, I'll be okay. If I don't sit back and adapt to him, I'll be okay. Just do what I do, you know?
And have you had an opportunity to watch a lot of film on Juan?
I don't know. Not really. I don't really like to obsess over my opponents because then I feel like that happens where I end up sitting back and waiting on them or trying to adjust to their style. Watched a couple things just to kind of see a style and what, you know, whether he's lefty or righty and things like that, but I haven't really you know, studied him or dove into him that much.
And where are you training at these days?
I'm all over the place. My home base obviously is Team Pencil Gracie Denville, where I get my jiu-jitsu and stuff. I'm at Driven Gym in Woodbridge with James Meals. He does my pad work and my stand-up, and then all my MMA work and sparring and practice, that's at Nicotones MMA and Brick. That's actually where I'm on my way up from right now. Saturdays are hard day. So, you know, it's got a little bit of everything going.
Well, you said Saturday is a hard day. What's a normal Saturday like for you?
Well, Saturday morning, I go down to Brick, and that's where we have our team sparring. You know, all the killers go down there, and we just get our rounds in.
Nice, nice. So you're looking forward to this banging you're about to go into right now?
Yeah, you know, it's always, obviously, anybody who tells you it's not nerve-wracking or anything like that is lying to you. But it's also exciting, you know, it's a good opportunity. And I haven't fought down in Florida before, so the family's happy to go down and have a little kind of mini vacation of it. So it's exciting.
And now you're from the New York area, correct?
Correct.
Were you born and raised out there, or how did you come to be a New Yorker?
Yeah. Born and raised Northeast New Jersey. My parents, you know, came here from the Dominican Republic, and they had me, and I was born in Patterson, and I've just always been in that area, but always Northeast Jersey boy.
So are you kind of used to that Florida heat then?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I don't know if you see what I'm wearing. It's like 84 right now, and I get made fun of. I always wear either a hoodie or long sleeves. You'll never, very rarely see me in short sleeves. Very rare. So heat doesn't bother me. I love the heat.
And for the people who aren't watching the video and they're listening at home, he's wearing a jacket right now. And like you said, it's 80 degrees. Windows are up. Probably don't got AC on. Just sweating.
I'm just used to it, man. I'm used to it.
Now,
that's a Dominican part of me.
The flyweight division, is that something that's hard for you to make, or is it easy for you to make that?
No, it's pretty easy. It's pretty easy. I mean, listen, it's nothing's easy, but I make it, you know. It was when I used to fly fight 135 back in the day before flyweights were really around. I was just outsized. It was hard. You know, I trained with some 135ers now, and I look at them, and I'm like, how did I ever fight 35? So, and even at 25, you know, I give up height. Like, I'm giving up height right now to Juan. I'm not a big 125er, you know, by any stretch of the imagination. So, it's not an easy cut, but it's a cut I need to make because I definitely don't belong at 35.
What are some of the things that you do to kind of keep that weight down?
Well, it's funny because I got, like, people don't believe me, but I got, like, just fat boy in me. I got that in my I used to weigh 200 pounds before I started fighting. So it's like a constant battle for me. I love working out, which is, you know, a good thing for me. I love working out. I like do marathons. I do triathlons, you know, things like that. So I do that to keep my weight down, to stay active. And then obviously it's watching my meals, which is hard with kids in the house. They got all the junk in the house. I have to try to avoid it. But it's just discipline, just discipline.
So what do you like outside of the cage? What do you like to get into? You mentioned you have kids and your family.
Yeah, right now, you know, it's all about them, really. You know, if I'm not training or working, because I work full time, I'm running around to little league. You know, my kid's a baseball freak, so he's got like three teams and he plays all year round. So I'm either at a baseball practice, a baseball game, or my little guy's getting into wrestling now.
That was like my childhood growing up. Like, I played for multiple teams. All I did was play baseball.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's freaking. The kids don't appreciate shit. You know, like, they're just like, oh, take me here, take me there. You know. And now it's hard. Me and my wife have to split up now because they're getting older. So it's like I got to take one to wrestling, one to baseball. It's a struggle. So now my training's all based around that. Luckily, I have like the best team in the world. I'll shoot them a quick test and say, hey, you know, he's got a game at 6. Can we meet at 8 tonight? You know, and they're cool about it. So I still got the training in. It's just a little bit of a logistics nightmare.
No, and that's awesome to have a team that's willing to just, you know, do whatever it takes to get you your rounds.
Yeah.
What do you do for work? You mentioned you have a full-time job, so.
So I'm a civil engineer. I'm a project manager for a heavy highway construction company. So you know, I get looked at like I'm crazy. You know, like, you know, my parents like, no, we put you through college. You're an engineer. What the fuck are you doing? Getting punched in the face, you know. It's my passion. That's what I love. But you know, work's definitely stressful. I do 10-11 hour days and. Got to still train. I train before work, so I'm in the office by 6:30, and then as soon as I get out, I get a couple sessions after work in between kid stuff. So.
Yeah, so this is something that you truly love to do. I mean, clearly.
Oh, yeah.
With the job that have, I mean.
Yeah, it's definitely the love. It's definitely the love.
That's awesome, man. How do you see yourself being victorious against Juan?
You know, it's funny. I don't know. I see it. I think I can win anywhere, but I just don't know how it's going to play out. I see myself winning, but I could definitely see this going the distance. I could see him slipping up and making a mistake, and then I can capitalize. But everywhere I see me winning. So
there's no official prediction for me?
No, I'm sorry. I can't. You know, I'm not. That's the one thing it's hard to get at. I'm not a trash talker. I'm not a, like, you know, I just believe I'm going to win. I just can't tell you how, you know?
No, I don't know. Sure. You guys are both very humble, so it makes for an easy competition because those are usually the better fights.
Yeah, that's the one bad thing about me. You're not going to get the, you know, the disrespect and the trash talk and all that.
Yeah, that's not necessarily bad. That's a good thing. I mean, I think we should have more of that, especially with the sport and the way it is now and some of the fighters that we have out there that are just in your face and brazen.
So, sometimes it's so unorganic and it's so, you could see it's like so, you know, forced.
Yes.
That's not me. It's not me, so.
Well, I'm glad that you're kind of just sticking to your guns and being you. That's definitely more of what we need in this sport.
Yeah, I got kids. I got an example to set. I can't be the silly guy, you know, saying crazy stuff online and stuff like that.
Exactly, man. So where you said you're heading to practice right now. I don't want to take much more of your time.
No. Practice is over. I'm heading actually over to now after practice. I get some cardio in and a swim and some cardio at the gym. So I'm on my way there now, but no problem.
Nice. So what is most of your cardio routine like? Just swimming or do you do a lot of running?
I mix it up, man. I run I run at least, you know, 30, 40 miles a week. I also do, I bike, especially now with the nice weather. On Sundays is my day to do my nice long bike ride. I'll do like, you know, 60 to 75 miles. And then I always mix a swim in there. Whenever my body's feeling a little rough, I do swim just to do a little low impact. So I really mix it up.
Nice, nice, nice. What could you do to better yourself in this sport in the next couple of years? What do you see your future like?
Oh man, I think I just keep pushing, just keep training with the people I train, keep getting better. And the thing is with me is that I'm not dumb enough to think that I'm so many years in, I can't learn something. I try to reinvent myself as much every time. I always try to say, the me today should be able to beat the me from last fight. And if I can't, then I've wasted time, you know? So I'm the kind of guy that'll fight, you know, on a Saturday and I'm back in the gym if I'm healthy on a Monday working on stuff. Cause I just love the sport. I'm obsessed with it. I'm like a gym rat. So I'm more obsessed with the learning than the winning and losing. So as long as I keep learning, I'm happy.
And if you had something to say to some of the younger guys that are coming into the sport right now, what would it be? Some advice.
Take your time and just train. You know, there's so many guys that just want to just jump into it or want the instant gratification, you know. Just enjoy the journey, man, because it's a fun journey. Just enjoy it. You know, obviously winning and losing, you know, winning's good, but just enjoy it. It's a beautiful sport, man.
And you said you're Dominican Republic, right?
Yeah.
Nice. So how is that? Do you ever go back home?
Oh my God, I go a lot. I actually, I'm planning on going back the end of the summer. Got family there and that's where, you know, basically my heart is. So I go a lot. I don't go as much as I want to go now with the kids and everything, but I still try to get out there every time to the point where my wife's kind of, you know, she's like, can we go somewhere else?
You know, but, no, for sure. I usually turn most of our family vacations into fight trips, and she's like, okay, I'm so sick of going places and fight stuff. I'm like, sorry, babe.
Yeah.
We'll make it work.
Yeah, that's the same way. I'm like, hey, let's go watch blah, blah, blah fight, and we'll just stay an extra day or two. I'm like, that's my vacations. But,
no, for sure. And that's awesome, man. You're a family-oriented guy. You've put your time into this sport, and it's definitely going to hopefully pay off here soon for you. Lex has spoken highly of you. They actually asked me to interview you, so that's a huge thing.
Oh, great.
But like I was saying, I don't want to take much more of your time. I appreciate you doing this for us. But before I let you go, could you give a shout out to your sponsors or your friends, teammates, family, loved ones, anyone that's helped you along your MMA journey?
So I don't have any sponsors. Probably because of my mouth, I don't talk too much to get any, but I just want to thank my team, all my team, everybody at, you know, Hensel Gracie, Nick Catones, Driven Gym, Pure MMA, everywhere. Just thanks for all the help, guys. I got a great team around me, a great family. My kids, love you guys, and obviously my wife, she's the best, you know, support system I got, man. So.
And then where can the fans find you on social media?
So Instagram, it's BigClawed125. And Facebook I do not have, and Twitter I do not have. So basically just Instagram, BigClawed125.
All right, guys, there you have it. Claudio Ledesma is the title challenger for next week's Titan FC 55.
Two weeks.
Well, when this comes out, it'll be next week. Sorry.
Titan
FC 55 flyweight championship fight. It's going to be an amazing main event. Cannot wait. June 28th. Thank you, Claudio, for your time, and have a good day, man.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it, man. Take it easy.
Hey, this is John Anik with the UFC. You are listening to MMA Wreckage Radio.
All right, guys, at this time is one of my favorite parts of the show. We are going to break down this weekend's UFC card. It is UFC Fight Night Mode, Kano, Korea, and Zabi. That is UFC on ESPN Plus 12 for those of you keeping track at home. It is the very first fight, the first event that the promotion has ever put on in the state of South Carolina. It's obviously headlined by a featherweight bout, like I mentioned. Hernando Moicano is going to be taking on former UFC featherweight championship contender, the Korean Zombie, Chun Sung Jung. And that is the headliner. A great couple of debuts. Darion Wynn, if you know anything about it. Wynn, do you know anything about Darion Wynn?
Not really.
He trains with DC out there in AKA. We'll talk about him more in a second. But to start off the card, Andre Ewell, who we hopefully have on the show a little bit later, still trying to iron that one out, will be taking on Anderson DeSoto in the bantamweight division. Andre lost his last outing, hopefully he's looking to turn that one back around. Andre is went in there every single one of his fights and put on a great performance. He beat Hannon Burrell before that. Hopefully we can get this one back on track and get a W here against Anderson DeSoto. In the middleweight division, like I mentioned, Darion Wynn is taking on Eric Spizley. That matchup was just made. Marcus Perez was the original opponent for Darion Wynn. Wynn obviously wasn't able, or Perez wasn't able to make the fight. So Darion Wynn is now going to be taking on this guy. Darion, like I said, he fights with AKA. He trains down there with DC. DC has kind of taken him under his wing, if you will. He's kind of been a little mentor for him. So this is his very first fight in the UFC. His last fight was against Ruthless Tom Lawler. He completely fucking mollywomped him. It was a great performance from Wynn. I think that we're going to see more of the same from him here in the UFC.
We have a lot of fighters from AKA right now. Isn't he the guy that is always with him during when they do UFC? Okay, now I see who he is.
The little short guy looks like he could be his brother.
Yeah, now I see who it is.
Yes, yes, yes. So this is his very first fight in the UFC. His last fight, he fought Tom Lawler. He walked through Tom Lawler. He's got great wrestling. I don't know exactly what his credentials are, but from what I understand, he's got very good wrestling.
DC is only friends with wrestlers, I think.
No, for sure. I mean, they all got to stick together. The very next fight is women's flyweight fight, and it's going to be Arianne Lipsky versus Molly McCann. Lipsky, I'm very interested to see what she can come up with in this flyweight division. I've always had very high hopes for her. I just feel like she just hasn't gotten to where I feel like she should be.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't, like, you said that's Lipsky, you have hope for her, or McCann?
Lipsky,
okay.
I've always felt like she hasn't been given the fair shake, and then when she is given the fair shake, she isn't given the respect that she deserves. I mean, she's the violence queen, isn't she not?
Yeah, she is. But, you know, I would go with McCann on this fight, I think. I don't know why. I saw her fight before in the UFC, and I was like, kind of, you know, she was interesting. She won her last fight against Priscilla Cauera, and I remember this fight. I was remembering kind of this fight, and I really liked the way she fought, and I think that she will get the W in this fight.
The very next fight is in the heavyweight division. Alan Crowder taking on... I'm going to fuck this one up. Jorginho Rosenstreich. Give it a couple of fights. We'll figure that shit out. So, we're going to talk about Alan Crowder for a second. Alan Crowder has been in and out of the UFC. He's now back in the UFC. So, we'll see what he could do in this run.
Yeah, against the guy who's undefeated.
Yes, but one guy you were super interested in is going to be in the next matchup, and it's a lightweight division, and Matt Wynman against your boy, Luis Pena.
Yeah, that's another guy who trained at AKA. I'm always seeing him in videos training with DC. And, you know, he's a very interested fighter. He was in the Ultimate Fighter, the season where they had only undefeated fighter, if I'm correct.
Yes, you are correct. He didn't even lose in that show. Also, he was... I can't think about it. He did not lose while he was in the show. He was forced to withdraw from the competition because of injury.
Yeah, That was a problem. And, you know, injuries are a problem for
but he did go and fight Mike Trezano, the eventual winner, and he did lose.
He lost by split decision, yeah. But, you know, it wasn't like a big loss for him. I think that he have a bright career in front of him. He's still 25. Like, he's still very young. And, he only have 7 fights. Yeah, he need to have more fights. And I think that winning a fight like that, you know, would put him on the right track, you know, to maybe, I don't know, in a couple of fights, maybe get into the ranking, I think.
Well, the one thing I always talk about is if you really want to be serious about this, you got to get yourself into a very good gym. And he's done just that with AKA. AKA just grooms champions. Look at their resume and look at the type of fighters they have brought up. Current champions, DC, Khabib Nurmagomedov. Former champions, Cain Velasquez, Luke Rockhold. The list goes on.
Yeah,
I mean, these guys have gone in there and they have been kicking ass for years. They've been titled challengers. They've been champions. They've been top-ranked contenders for a very long time. If you don't think that they're going to continue to produce this type of talent, you're dead fucking wrong. Luis Pena is a top-level talent, and he's at a top-level gym in AKA. Those two combinations, when it comes to an MMA fighter, are a lethal combination.
Yeah, for sure, 100%. And I'm very interested in this fight because Matt Whitman, you know, is the opposite. He had a lot of fights. He had some wins. He had more wins than losses. He had 16 wins and 7 losses. But, you know, he had a lot of fights. So he's more, you know, had more experience. And that's the kind of fight Luis Pena needs, you know, to improve.
No, definitely. And then to cap off the prelim portions of this card, the ESPN2 portions, was a featherweight fight between Dan Ige versus Kevin Aguilar. Dan Ige is one of those guys who I definitely feel like everyone should be keeping an eye on. I mean, he's been here for a while. He's at Extreme Couture. I mean, everybody that goes through Titan FC, I feel like you should always definitely keep an eye on. He was in the Contender Series. He did his damn thing there. He's only, 27 years old. He's out of Honolulu, Hawaii. I mean, the kid is definitely a talent that you need to be keeping your eye on.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, in the other corner, it's not an easy fight for him. Kevin Aguilar, you know, 17 wins, 1 losses. 1 loss, you know, he's 30 years old. He's still young, him too. So, and it's not his first fight in the UFC. He's undefeated in the UFC. 2 fights in the UFC, 2 wins, and 1 fight at the Dana White Tuesday Night Contender, and he won 2. So, you know, that's a really good fight.
Definitely, and that rounds off the prelim portions of the card. Now, on the main card, the ESPN Plus portion, you have 6 fights. Starting off the portion of the card is the women's strawweight division. That's Ashley Yoder taking on Sori Kondo. Don't know much about Kondo, but Ashley Yoder's been around for a while. She's got phenomenal boxing. Maybe she used this boxing for her advantage. She was part of the Ultimate Fighter, if I'm not mistaken. She was part of the team where Joanna Jędrzejczyk was the coach and Claudia Gadelha, and they went at each other for the title after that.
Yeah.
I believe she was taken out of the competition early, if I do not remember correctly. And since she's been in the UFC, she hasn't done much. As I look up her record right now, she's only got 1 win in the UFC out of 4 fights. So, I mean, it's not looking good. I mean, at this point, she's lost to Justine Kush, Angela Hill, Mackenzie Dern. She's only beaten Amanda Cooper. I believe Cooper came in overweight for that fight, too. So Ashley Oder's hopefully going to get a fair advantage this time. But standing across from her, Kondo, Japanese, she is an amazing talent. And you just see all these girls coming out of Japan. They're no joke. I mean, I know that if you look at this chick's resume, she's a professional wrestler, but she's not just any type of professional wrestler. Obviously, she made it to the UFC. She is very, 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 very good.
You know, and you know, don't let the record fool you when it comes to, you know, to women's to the women's divisions, because they have, you know, the divisions are new, so that's why, you know, some, you have a fighter that has 6 wins and 4 losses, but that doesn't mean that the fighter suck or something like that. It doesn't mean anything. The fighter can be great, you know. Well, she lost to Mackenzie.
The greatest there, example of that, if you look at somebody like Courtney Casey, all her losses are to top level talent.
Yeah,
but she's got about 6 losses.
But you know, and even Ashley Yoder, you know, she lost to Angela Hill and Mackenzie Dern. You know, those two fighters are very, you know, they are top girls. So you lost against them by decision. Like, it's not something that will dramatically hurt your career, I would say.
No, for sure. But this next gentleman who is going to be fighting, middleweight Kevin Holland, is definitely one guy who I think his charisma will outshine most of his talent. He is fighting Alessio De Chirico. But Big Mouth, as Dana White likes to call Kevin Holland. He definitely does not turn down a challenge. He is 2-0 since coming off of his first loss in the UFC, which was against Thiago Santos. He took that Thiago Santos fight on a very short notice. A lot of guys said no to that fight. He was the only guy who had enough balls to say yes.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. He had some balls, Kevin Holland. And I thought, if I remember correctly, like, Holland looked good in this fight. Like, it didn't, you know, it was a good performance against a guy that everybody was afraid of.
No, definitely. And Dana White said, call Big Mouth, see what he says. And Kevin Holland, without even hesitation, said, I'll take the fight no matter who it is. I don't give a fuck. Just give me somebody. Yeah. Give me somebody, make sure it's underneath those lights, and we'll go in there and we'll make it happen.
Yeah, and you know, it was his first UFC fight, if I'm correct, and what a way to start your UFC journey, you know. But you know, you lose against Santos, but after that, I think, you know, it's all clear. You lost to a top guy, but you went to decision. You learn a lot of things in when you lose like that, and that was, you know. And I think that it will be a good night for him. I think that Kevin Holland will win against Chirico. And I'm not insulting the fighter, because he is 2-0 right now in the UFC. So, you know, both of them are 2-0, so that will be a good fight.
Holland is 2-1, but I'll let that slide.
Yeah. No, I'm talking just about the last two fights. They are both in a winning streak right now.
The very next fight on the card is in the women's flyweight division. In AKGB Lee, Angela Lee is taking on Montana De La Rosa. And I'm actually very excited for this matchup. Montana De La Rosa, in her last fight, beat recent guest Nadia Kassim. Angela Lee has been on a roll since she's got into the UFC. I really feel like these two women at this point in time are meeting at the exact pinnacle of their careers, and it is the best time for these two women to fight. I really feel like Montana De La Rosa has a lot of steam coming in this, and I really feel like she could take all of Angela Lee's fucking hype that she has behind her. Montana De La Rosa is the real deal. You talked about women coming in and they had to fight top talent, and that's why their records don't look that great. That is Montana De La Rosa. I mean, outside of the UFC is the only time she's ever lost. Two of the names she's lost to, I'll give them to you right now: Cynthia Calvillo and Mackenzie Dern.
Definitely. Exactly what I said. You know, in the division, in the women's division, you know, those girls get to fight against the next big names without even knowing that they will be the next big names, because it's new. Like, we don't have, you know, it's not like the welterweight division when we have, you know, this guy will be the next, you know, we know that he will be the next champion, you know. This is different. And, you know, this is a great fight because those two girls, you know, have more than 10 fights, 10 MMA fights. And I think that this girl will give us a great fight.
No, for sure. And then the very next fight is a welterweight division. Brian Bam Bam Barbarino is going to take in Randy Brown. And did you know Randy Brown's a wrestling fan?
Really?
Yes, I did not know that either. But Mr. Rude Boy Randy Brown is definitely somebody who you should be keeping your eye on. I feel like he's another one of those guys that only literally lost to top talent, Nico Price, Benil Muhammad, Michael Graves, who's in Titan FC right now because of another situation, non-fighting. And then you look at Brian Barbarino, who has obviously done very well for himself since being in the UFC. Most of his fights are fight of the night. His very last fight against Vicente Luque could honestly be fight of the year, and that happened in February. So, I mean, looking at this too on paper, I really feel like it's going to be a great brawl. I really feel like it's going to be one of those ones where you don't want to blink, and you're not going to want to miss a moment of this action because it's going to be nonstop from the start of the fight to whoever gets finished.
Yeah, and this is a fight between two hungry guys because those two fighters, you know, right now they are in a losing streak. Both fighters lost their last fight. And, you know, he lost to Nico Price. Was it the Nico Price when he knocked him out, you know, when he was,
on his back, yes.
Yeah, okay, so that was a highlight for real. But, you know, he won against Mickey Gall. He looked amazing against Mickey Gall, if I remember right. And Brian Bam Bam, you know, lost to Vicente Luque. He said it's one of the greatest fights maybe this year. He lost to Leon Edwards, and he lost to my guy, Colby Covington. So, you know, he lost only to big names. And Colby is the biggest of them.
Right. So, anyways, before I get into a whole 10-minute segment about the welterweight king, Kamaru Usman, we'll go into the next fight in the bantamweight division. It's a co-main event. It's John Lineker versus Rob Font. You know the UFC dug really, really deep in the barrel for this one when this is the co-main event. I mean, for your very first time in South Carolina, you think you could have gave these guys a little bit better of a card. It is what it is. Hopefully the fights are a lot better in the cage than they look on paper, because on paper they don't look that great. But you never know, because these are the type of cards that turn out to be magnificent.
Yeah, sometimes when you underrate a card, you think that this card will suck, and sometimes the card is great. And about this fight, you know, John Lineker just fought recently and he lost, and he wanted to go back directly in the cage, and he's fighting against Rob Font. Rob Font won his last fight against Sergio Perez, and I think that a win against John Lineker like would get him right in the mix, you know. Maybe
This is a rematch. You know that, right? Rob Font in his second UFC fight lost to John Lineker.
Yeah, he lost.
So this is a little bit of redemption. I feel like Rob Font is at a completely different stage in his career than he was back then. Like I said, it was his second UFC fight. I mean, the type of fighter that we're going to see now is a completely different fighter than what we saw then. I think if John Lineker's going in there thinking that he's going to see the same guy and he's going to be able to do the same things, I think it's going to be a very long night for John Lineker, and I think Rob Font's going to go in there and have a 3-round unanimous decision.
Yeah, and John Lineker, you know, his last fight was kind of a frustrating fight because he was trying to rush for the knockouts during the end of the fight, but he didn't gets the chance, you know, to knock Corey Sandhagen again, but
Corey Sandhagen.
He looked good, you know. Corey looked very good against Lineker, and I think if I have to pick a winner, I would say John Lineker maybe would get back to the win column, but you know, who knows.
Now, in the main event, is also two guys coming off losses. Hanonto Mocano lost to Jose Aldo, and Chan Sung Jung lost in a crazy knockout to Yair Rodriguez in a fight where I feel like the Korean Zombie was winning the entire fight up until that elbow.
Yeah, maybe one of the craziest knockouts in the history of the UFC.
No, for sure. So I really feel like these two guys are going to go in there and they're going to put it all out on the table. One of these two guys is obviously going to come out with the W, but I think both these guys need the W. I feel like for the mentality to get them right back in the thick of things. These two gentlemen are not very far out of the featherweight title picture. With a win on Saturday night, either one of these two could be pushed right back in that title picture. With a dramatic win and or finish, you could be very well looking at a top five opponent in your next matchup.
Yeah, and you know, we have title fights between the current champion Max Holloway against Frankie Edgar, and who knows if Frankie Edgar win, you know, there will be a big shakeup in this division. So who knows? Maybe the winner of this fight will get, I would say, maybe not directly, but maybe we'll get a title opportunity, you know, very soon. So this is a big fight for the featherweight division, and both, like you said, both fighters needs that win. And if you have to pick a winner, who would you pick?
I think out of the two of these guys, I'd have to go with Hunter to Marcano. I've been very high on Marcano since the Ortiz fight, Ortega fight. I really feel like he's the only person outside of Max Holloway who really took it to Brian Ortega. And then obviously Ortega snatched that guillotine on him and it was all she wrote from there. I really feel like Moicano, though, is going to go in here and just hand Choen Sung Jung his ass. The Korean Zombie is going to get knocked out within the third round.
Yeah, I would say the Korean Zombie, but I think that loss against Yair Rodriguez really hurt him, you know, not physically, but mentally, because that he was winning. And I don't know why did he get caught in the last second by this elbow, this crazy elbow.
Why rush in?
Yeah, why? I don't know why. It was kind of weird. Sometimes you get, you know, when you're in the cage, you know, I'm not...
But it's not like he needed to win that round. It's not like he was, you know, going into the fifth and final round like, okay, we got to get this round. He was already up four rounds.
He wanted to maybe entertain the fans, and that's not the good thing to do, you know. Sometimes when you are winning, fuck the fans. Keep it.
In MMA, there's 4 ounce gloves and there's elbows we could use. If you're not already signed to the UFC, if you're already signed to the UFC at this point, you need to fucking just get W's. If you're not signed to the UFC, you need to be going out there and putting balls to the wall.
Yeah, for sure. I will go with the Moicano, me too, because I think that this is the Moicano era. I think Moicano, not era, but I think this is the Moicano time to shine.
No, for sure. I'm super excited about this fight card. What's on after this? I think, honestly, if you ask me, I feel like the next fight card is kind of overshadowing this fight card, only because the two massive heavyweights that we have in Francis Ngannou and Junior Dos Santos going into this main event in Minneapolis. Super excited about next week's card. I cannot fucking wait.
Yeah, this is the big, big card, because we have Damian Maia. We have Formiga against Benavidez. Wait, we have Formiga against Benavidez?
Yes.
We were talking about an interim belt. Okay, yes. They should make it for the interim belt. So, and, you know, we have the big heavyweight. You know, Paul Craig, this is a great fight.
Super excited. But we'll get into that next week, guys. We'll be back after a quick station identification with some more MMA Wreckage Radio. And we'll be seeing you guys in a second.
Hey guys, this is Juan Leadfeather Puerta, and you're listening to MMA Wreckage Radio.
All right, guys, joining me at this time is Mr. Highlight himself, Andre Ewell. Andre, you have a fight this Saturday in South Carolina against Anderson Dos Santos, man. You looking forward to this fight?
That I am. And then I'm also going to have to go out there and tell them my original neck. The highlight, I tell you, it don't fit me. Like, because my last, or when I fought him and that name, I honestly thought they were calling his name. So I was like, oh damn. I was like, I did that, change my nickname real quick. But yeah, you know, but yeah, I'm definitely ready, man. Definitely ready, feeling good. I'm about half a pound away, man, feeling like money.
So are we going to go with the People's Champ soon?
Yeah, I think that's like more me. That's like, I'm telling you, it's more me. It's just like, it just fits. It's calling my name.
No, definitely. I feel like it's definitely something for you. It fits definitely your charisma. You're definitely the People's Champ.
Yeah, I appreciate that, brother. I do. I really do.
So with this fight coming up in Saturday, this is your first fight in 2019. How anxious are you to get back into the octagon?
Man, beyond anxious. Like, people don't end up understanding. It's like that. I'm like, I'm growing like these itches, like a straight down itch. Like, you know, it's like been a while, 6 months, you know, and that can end up, that time can end up doing a lot to a fighter. Like, people end up not understanding, but I can go ahead and say it was probably for the best for me, you know, so I'm able to mold and, you know, create and basically play with my my style and bring out a style that needs to be placed on for this fight, you know.
And with your opponent, Anderson, what have you watched about him? Have you watched any of his film to kind of pick up any of his techniques?
Be honest, I left everything with everybody, or that's on my coaching staff. Only thing I do know is he has heart. That's something I definitely do know, and I already know heart can end up taking you in a long way. You know, it could take you left, and that left could be the right direction. It could take you right, and that right could be that right direction. But thing is I have heart too, so it's going to be an exciting show.
Definitely. And the last time we saw you out, it was a loss to Nathaniel Wood. Tell me, what did you learn from that process?
That I'm human. That's exactly what it ends up taking. Like, things can automatically get to me, and when it does, you know, it holds and like a little heavy weight on your back type thing, you know. But what I end up knowing is that at the end of the day, it's all about being comfortable no matter what it is. No excuses, just constantly keep training harder and make sure you perform the way you're supposed to perform in front of the world, you know.
No, definitely. At this point in time, you know, with Anderson being next, what do you see after this? Do you have an eye? You have something for the future? Do you have an opponent in mind, or do you just want to kind of go with the courses and get another fight in?
Right now, I'll go with the courses, get another fight in. But if they give me someone that's automatically awesome, that's down the bend, that's automatically perfect. Because they already know my motto. My motto is anybody can get it. So we can go out there, we can end up throwing it just like that. So if anything, put me on the San Antonio card. But I definitely want to jump on the Abu Dhabi or even Australia.
Yeah, that would be awesome, right, to go out there and travel.
Oh, definitely. Traveling, especially out of country, is everything, man. And I only did it once, but that once was everything to me. Yeah.
You're born and raised in Southern California?
Yeah. Raised, moved here and there, back from Texas and back to Cali, but majority of Cali, so Southern Cali.
What part of Southern California? I'm from out there.
Oh, that's perfect. You know, IE.
Okay, yeah. So I grew up in like Anaheim a little bit, as you can tell, Angels hat.
Hey, city of the Angels, man. Yeah,
of course, man. I was born in like Ventura. I lived in Los Angeles, Orange County. I lived in Redlands a little bit. I still have family out in Redlands. I've been all over Southern California.
Okay, well, I was born in Anaheim, so that's points for, like I said, City of Angels, man.
See, and ironically, though, I spent a little time in Texas.
What part? That's the question.
Houston.
Houston, okay. See, I was from Tyler, Texas. That okay. One's kind of like the off-brand of quiet zone type thing, but hey, you know, you kind of end up dealing with what they give you, you know?
For sure. Houston's wild.
I feel you. Yeah, definitely Cali, City of the Angels, man. I'm end up pitching for the Angels one day.
So, wait a second. What elementary school did you go to?
Elementary.
Did you go to Roosevelt? Oh, see, because I went to Roosevelt Elementary School.
Okay, see.
So I went in Anaheim.
Okay. Yeah, I was in Riverside for middle school. That's actually where I ended up moving. Yeah. That was the last time I moved over there, up to Riverside / Corona, or Corona to Riverside. Yeah, so basically I was up over there with Mountain View, you know, Madison.
Yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that are over there.
So what brought you over to Apex MMA?
Well, Apex now is the house is where I'm at now, which they ended up taking over, changing the name and everything. But what brought me over there was opportunity, man. You know, we end up meeting and talking to the right people. I was with like Icon with the coaching with my striking coach that I have now named Tony. We ended up partnering up with Apex. Then stuff happened where we ended up sticking with Apex, and then that turned into the house, and we're just building from the house.
And have you brought anyone in specific for Anderson to try to mimic his style?
You can go ahead and say we already had, like, most people that's up in that already had the style, but the real pickup was Professor Sean. He coming in there with the whole jits game and everything. So from Gracie, line or Leaning-ish, or I said the dang word. But and then on top of that, we had they stopped in like Jalen Turner, where he's a part of the team as well. So I've been working with him, and Montel Jackson came in. So yeah, so end up getting like good looks here and there, definitely good looks.
No,
and then, especially from White Tiger, you know, Brandon Hastings. Always a great working partner, sparring partner for me.
Now, do you feel you have an advantage over Anderson on the feet or in the ground?
Definitely on the feet. I know he's a black belt, but the thing is, what they need to know is I can actually move with black belts on the floor.
Yeah, you moved very well with Hinton Burrell, and he's a black belt.
There you go. So, like, right now, I'm not worried on anything, especially since Sean came in. I'm definitely not worried about anything. I actually just made my game a lot stronger, and I'm improving. Like, people don't really get it. It's like I'm improving in the cage and outside the cage. So how you look at it, I'm getting better. So every day that I go by, every hour, every second, I'm getting better. So it's like more points to me.
You guys are both coming off of a loss. Do you think that he's going to might go in there and kind of throw a little bit of caution to the wind?
Oh, definitely. I expect him to basically try to get the fight to the ground. And, you know, and that's what he's going to end up doing. So if he ends up doing anything else, hey, he's going to end up falling and prepare for everything, you know?
And then how do you see this fight playing out?
It's going to be a lesson, me picking him apart. Truth be told, I feel like I will end up finishing it. Can't really say what round, but I do feel the fight will be ending in KO, TKO, one or the other.
So an official prediction is somewhere in the fight, Andre Ewell is going to get a TKO over Anderson.
Boom.
There we go. I like it, brother. I like it. So what's new and interesting in your everyday life?
Everyday life? Right now, what's new and what's waiting for me is food and water.
Yeah, how's that coming? So you're in a weight cut right now. So yeah. How is your weight? Do you cut a lot of weight to make bantamweight?
About 25 pounds.
Okay, so tomorrow's your big day for weigh-ins, man. I mean, I appreciate you taking the time. I know how anxious and fucking irritable you could be cutting that much weight. I mean, I would be going crazy if it was me, but I appreciate you being able to do this.
Hey, no problem, man. Like I said, anytime, anywhere, just let me know. Hit me up. Even after the fight, we can end up chopping it up, dude.
No, we will. I mean, that's why you're the people's champ, brother.
See, make me feel good. Like, it already fits. So you can go ahead and start spreading that right now. People's champ. We're gonna let that be known.
We will. Yeah. And then once you get on that mic after that victory, you're going to have to let them all know.
Hey, definitely.
Mr. Highlight is done because the people's champ is here.
Hey, feeling it, and it's definitely going to be embraced. You feel me?
Definitely.
That's nice.
Now, we talked last time about your son. How's the process with that going, if you don't mind sharing it?
Totally got worse. But I'm keeping it on the bright side. I keep my head forward and pushing forward, just knowing that I'm building everything for him. So the time when everything does come to fruition, he has something. And it's going to be automatically, you know, given to him. And he is automatically have something that's coming from, you know, his father. So that's the bright side of what I'm looking at and what I'm going to constantly keep pushing and looking or keeping my head forward with, you know.
And that just shows the type of man and father you are. I mean, even not being able to be there, you're still trying to do everything you can to be there. I mean, it just shows the character and the type of person you are. And, you know, it's just great having the opportunity to know you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Truly appreciate that, dude. Really do.
No, for sure. And I just hope nothing but the best turns out for you in that whole situation, man. I mean, you're a great guy, so I can only imagine what type of father you could be.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that.
So I don't want to take too much more of your time. I know you're super, super busy. What can we be expecting from the future of Andre Ewell?
Oh, be taking over the fight game, man. That's it. Like right there, I'm trying to tell you. Like, you know, there's the big three, right? You got Bruce Lee. You have Bruce Leroy. And then you have Kill Bill, the lady, you know, the one that was rocking the yellow suit. And now you got me. Now I'm going to be the next legend where they're just going to end up talking and making movies and making clips where they're just going to be like, this is the guy that took over the generation. He is the wave, and he's automatically about to do special and spectacular things. That's me.
I seen that Kill Bill suit that you got to that tracksuit. That thing is flashing. I like that.
Hey, points to Dynasty MMA, man. They automatically keeping me fit. And that's where exactly where I end up shopping and getting my stuff on. So everybody, Dynasty MMA, make sure you guys check it out. And if you like them, man, purchase, purchase, and keep purchasing. They end up treating you right.
No, definitely. And before I let you go, I want to give you a quick time to give any shout-outs to your sponsors, loved ones, coaches, training partners, any of them.
Well, you know, shout-outs to my son, Eli Yule, everybody, my team at home, the house, the coaches that came up here, you know, my brother, my cousin, my lady, she's right here. Yeah, she says hi. So,
hi.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Yeah, so everybody, health and body nutrition. My tequila knockout, make sure you guys end up jumping on the line.
Yes.
AndreYule.com, man. You know, reserve, and eventually we're going to be able to end up shopping it and moving it out and be able to be distributed to the world, you know. You know, we got 100% violence, again, Dynasty MMA. If I miss, AM Plumbing. If y'all need to go ahead and get the toilet fixed, man, hit up my peeps. AM Plumbing, they automatically, they travel, they're around the world, bro. Yeah, but yeah, and MMA Signatures, so all nothing but love to everybody, and hell, even Chapstick Gang.
Now, one thing I wanted to talk to you before I let you go was that tequila. Tell me a little bit about your tequila.
It's a brand, man. It's the brand, straight from Mexico, Jalisco. It's about me, and it's about a full-on knockout. It's supposed to be the best and best branded from Blanco and Reposado. And I feel like I said Reposado 100% wrong, right?
Reposado.
There you go. So, so you know.
How did you get started with it?
Truth be told, it ended up being a little small connection from my pops that brought it in store with my manager. And we all ended up sitting down and just started talking into my pop's boss. So his name is Marco. So he ended up making everything happen, and everybody were partners. So I'm just like still meeting everybody, you know. But yeah, they ended up wanting to push it with my name and my face, especially since it's, you know, from like where we're at. So it's like a perfect spot. So make sure I'm going to get you one, you know.
Excellent.
Whenever we get shipped out, I'm gonna ship you out. Just give me the address that I got you,
buddy. I'll shoot it to you. We'll rep it for sure.
All right, for sure. Appreciate that.
And then, where can the fans find you on social media?
Man, day 42. Day spelled with two I's instead of the Y. Just remember that.
D-A-I-I.
42. There you go. Yeah. And that's where you can definitely find me at. And I will give you my Twitter, but I keep forgetting it. Yeah, I'm still working on that. But definitely hit me up on Instagram.
No, for sure. And then we can't wait for this Saturday night. Like I said, it's Anderson DeSantos. It's the first fight in South Carolina, the first UFC fight in South Carolina. So, I mean, you could put that in your resume, too. The people's champ going out there doing his thing, brother. Hey. Thank you for taking time out of your day. I know you're super irritable probably from cutting all that weight, so I appreciate it, brother. You're a constant professional, like I've been saying, the people's champ. Thank you again, Andre Yua.
Hey, thank you for having me, brother. Appreciate you.
For sure. We'll have you back on after you get this victory on Saturday night.
Awesome. All right. Until then, brother.
Excellent, brother. See you later.
Hey, this is Tim Johnson, and you're listening to MMA Wreckage Radio.
All right, guys, this has been another amazing episode of MMA Wreckage Radio. I'm super excited. Waleed, thank you for joining us yet again. Super excited for next week's card, like we talked about a little bit earlier in our UFC Fight Night 154 preview. Like I said, Minneapolis, Minnesota, the Target Center. Two huge heavyweights, JDS versus Francis Ngannou, meeting on ESPN. Wally Wall, who do you got in that, in a little quick early preview? Who do you got for that fight?
I need to go with my brother from Africa. We need to go with Francis. I would go with Francis because I think...
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about your French brother, Francis Ngannou.
Because
you guys are both French.
He's from Cameroon. He's from Cameroon.
Yeah, but he's a French nationalist.
He is the next UFC heavyweight champion. Just wait and see.
You really think that? Do you think DC defends his title again? after Stipe?
No, I don't think so. If DC is still the champion, yeah, maybe he will not get, you know, but sooner or later, Francis Ngannou would be the heavyweight champion. And I think that if Stipe win against DC and we have the rematch between Stipe and Francis, I think this time it will go differently, and I think that Francis will win.
No, for sure. And the one thing that people don't put into perspective is Francis has only been training MMA for a very short while. Imagine if he would have been training MMA from the very beginning. Imagine if he would have been an 18-year-old kid training MMA. Imagine the beast that we would have in front of us.
Yeah, he will be the longest reigning UFC heavyweight champion in the history, I would say.
No, definitely, for sure. We also have Damian Maia on this card. Like we talked about, Joseph Benavidez is going to be on this card. But we will talk more about that in episode 31. This has been episode 30. Thank you guys for joining us. I'm Randall. Waleed is my favorite African Frenchman. Don't tell everybody, but he's really French, Cabe. Don't tell everybody, but he's French.
He's really French. Yeah. I'm from Africa.
He fucking loves that
Algeria.
Shit.
Algeria.
All right, brother. You're going to be in Algeria next week, right?
Yeah, I will watch this UFC fight night in my hometown.
Nice, brother. Well, enjoy Africa. Stay safe. Yeah. Don't get trampled by any elephants. And stay classy over there, yeah?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Take care, brother.
You too.